And just so all attendees know, this meeting is being recorded. The audio is posted to the ADOA website. The Google transcription of the meeting is used for written meeting minutes. You're good to go, Keith.
Okay, my name is Keith Jansen. I'm the District South Independent Oversight Committee Chairperson. Today is January
13th.
Huh?
13.
Yeah, that lucky date, the 13th on 2025. And this meeting is now called to order. Okay, before we start, does anybody have any objections or need to make any disclosures for objections to anything on the agenda? Speak now or forever hold your peace. Going once, going twice, gone. Okay. Okay, we're going to do the introductions. I would like the Independent Oversight Committee members to introduce themselves first. Mario?
Hi, good afternoon. My name is Mario Gutierrez, IOC Vice Chair.
Okay, Octavia.
Hi, my name is Octavia Lamb. I'm an IOC District South member.
Dimitri.
My name is Dimitri Godino, and I am a District South IOC member.
And Leslie.
Hello, my name is Leslie Leon, District South IOC member.
Okay. After that, I'm just going to, that should be all the IOC members that are present, which means we have a quorum for the record. Andrew, would you like to introduce yourself?
Sure. I'm Andrew Miller. I'm an incident specialist here in South.
Okay. Ms. Hedges.
Hi, I'm Christina Hedges. I am the DDD Office of Individual and Family Affairs Administrator. Happy to be here.
Okay. Ms. Scott.
Hi, I'm Christine Scott. I'm with AXA.
Okay. Ms. Graham.
Hello. This is Frederica Graham with Access as well.
Okay. Ian. Ian. You're on mute, just to let you know. JJ?
JJ Jensen, District South QA Supervisor.
Okay. Joseph Tracewell, sorry.
Yeah, Joe Tracewell, District South QA Manager.
And you have a bunch of guests, or is that a picture?
That's my clinical staff.
Okay. Larry.
Nice one, Joseph. Larry Allen with ADOA.
Okay. Michelle.
Hi, Michelle Rademacher, DDD, Independent Oversight Committee Liaison with the CARES Administration.
Morgan.
Morgan O'Hara, I am the other DDD IOC liaison with the CARES Administration.
Okay, Sierra.
I am Sierra Garland, and I am the administrative assistant to the strategic planning administrator for DDD.
Okay, Wendy.
Good afternoon, everyone. Wendy Herring with the Office of Individual and Family Affairs at Mercy Care.
Okay. We are going to have two guest speakers today. Mr. Seifert.
Hi, my name is Mark Seifert. I'm a performance improvement manager with DDD. I'm currently working with Delia Morris on our strategic planning efforts.
Okay. And is she here?
No, I'm her administrative assistant in lieu of her. She's in a different meeting for strategic planning at the moment.
Okay. So that's everybody, I do believe. Okay. I'm going to slightly rearrange the agenda today. I'm going to move the discussion, review, and possible action on committee membership to the next item. We have a possible candidate, Ms. McDaniels. Would you like to tell us a little bit about yourself, Ms. McDaniels?
Yes, my name is Lorraine McDaniel, and I live in the Phoenix area, and I've been in behavioral health for the last 7-8 years. I was doing an outreach ministry on the streets with the homeless. I have helped people throughout the years, domestic violence, taking people in to help, and I'm a strong advocate to people that are in need and don't know that they have a voice.
Okay. Do any IOC members have any questions for Ms. McDaniels? Okay. The next step is I need a motion to accept Ms. McDaniels onto the District South IOC committee.
Is a motion to accept her committee?
Is there a second?
That motion.
Okay, there's a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? Having no discussion, there'll be a vote. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Congratulations, Ms. McDaniels. You are voted on by a vote of 100% of the district IOC membership that are present. We are only missing two members right now.
Thank you.
One of the things I always ask, and it is not a requirement, but we put up a list for the IOC members. Mm-hmm. Our liaison puts it out. Would you be willing to have your name, your phone number, and your email on that list that all the IOCs can see?
Yes, I'm okay with it.
Okay, because that way, if any of us needs to get in touch with somebody else, mm-hmm. We each do some IRs and things like that. If you can't make it, you call one of us and say, hey, can you cover mine? Stuff like that.
Okay.
And plus, it's just a good way to keep in touch.
Yes.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure, didn't want to put your name and information out there unless you had authorized it. Okay. Now you are a fully voting member of the District South Independent Oversight Committee. So, Seifert is going to give us a discussion. You have the right to ask any questions, make any comments you want to.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Mr. Seifert is from the strategic planning staff, and he also has an assistant here today to help him, and they wanted to talk to us about they asked for permission, and I gave permission for them to be put on the agenda. Mr. Seifert.
Thanks, Keith. So let me share my screen. We have a quick presentation here for what we're doing with strategic planning in the division. And I will slideshow. Okay. So thank you. First of all, I wanted to thank you guys for letting us come in and do this presentation and get some feedback from all of you. So it's been about a decade, almost about 10 years since the division has put together a long-term strategic plan. And we believe that the timing is right to kind of revisit our vision and goals for the individuals that we support. And so your input will help us inform our strategic goals and the vision for the future when we start to develop that five-year strategic plan. So we wanted to, kind of take a look at what is our agenda here. We're going to be defining strategic planning and why strategic planning is important. We'll take a look at some of the recent DDD strategy efforts. We'll give you an overview of our strategic planning timeline and where we're at in the process. And then we'll ask for some of your input for helping us to envision the future. So to give us some insight into what some of those goals and initiatives should be on our strategic plan. So just real quick, what is strategic planning? Strategic planning is a process that helps DDD map out its vision for the future and how it's going to get there. So the process of strategic planning determines DDD's decisions and goals. And again, we want to create and publish a five-year strategic plan by July of this year. So we're just in the beginning process of developing this plan, but we want to have it published and out to the public by July of 2025. So when we talk about strategic planning, strategic planning is yes, Mr. Keith.
I just thought I would add on before we went any further that if we're not able to get into any questions today, I do believe you're going to be discussing this at the state meeting.
We have a lot of different meetings set up, yes.
That would be this Wednesday night.
Yes.
Okay. Just thought I'd let people know that, so if they had further questions or came up with any in between.
Okay. No worries. Thank you for that. So again, when we look at all different types of plannings, there's all different kinds of planning that we do all the time. We have operational planning, which is really like our short term, our daily, weekly, monthly type of planning that we do around specific tasks and activities that kind of go along with our day-to-day work. That planning focuses on efficiency and effectiveness, maybe some process improvement and you know, efficiency things that we can plan. And it's really our daily work schedules and like inventory management, performance reviews, things that we do on a day-to-day basis. If we go over to the next one for tactical planning, this is more like midterm planning. It's not 3 to 5 year planning, but these would be planning for a little bit longer goals, maybe some annual improvement plans. They're focused around quarterly or annual goals, things that we don't do on a day-to-day basis, but they're kind of big projects. They might take a year to complete. We look at resource allocations and implementation, things around like resources and budget allocation. And those are like yearly plans or annual improvement plans, maybe big project plans. And those plans feed into our strategic planning for like our longer 3 to 5 year. We're looking at 5 years. 5 year goals we want to set around organizational mission and vision. So when we're building our strategic plan, we really want to make sure that we keep our mission and our vision in line, our plan in line with that vision and our mission. And we want to focus on competitive advantage and or sustainability. We want to take a look at, you know, our public, our policy and our direction setting. And there's really some examples would be organizational goals, mission statements, strategic partnerships. We look at all of our strategic partnerships to help us, you know, maybe take advantage of some opportunities that are out there that we could focus on to help us become more effective in the people that we support. But strategic planning is what we're kind of talking about today. It's again long-term, driven towards our mission. Where do we want to be in 3 to 5 years? It's big ticket items. It's kind of broad based, but we're not going to be able to get these things done all in 1 year. So we might have go into tactical planning and have like a yearly or an annual improvement plan or a long project plan that might be, you know, associated with our strategic plan. So why is strategic planning important? Strategic planning clearly defines long-term objectives and maps out how short-term goals and work will help achieve them. Strategic planning aligns goals with external realities. One of the examples that we give here is that our member population is growing at a high rate. And I know that in 3 to 5 years, we're going to have a lot more members than we have now. And we want to make sure that we're ready for that. We don't want to wait and say, you know, 3 to 5 years from now, we're overwhelmed by our member population. We need to start planning for that now. Strategic planning expects challenges. And again, it leverages opportunities. Maybe leveraging some opportunities that we have with our, you know, with some of our other stakeholders out there that could help us leverage some opportunities for tackling some of our weaknesses, using our strengths to overcome some of those opportunities. Strategic planning gives a clear sense of where DDD is going and ensures teams are working on projects that make the most impact. It really should help define what we're working on a daily basis. We need to have a plan and say, if these are our goals and our objectives for the next 3 to 5 years, what is the work that goes along with achieving those goals and making sure that everybody's working on the right stuff so that we're not, you know, so that we're driving towards something that's effective in 3 to 5 years. Strategic planning gives a clear sense of where DDD is going and ensures teams are working on projects that make the most impact. I guess I already said that. But in a sense, if our goals and objectives are the destination on a map, our strategic plan is our navigation system. It's how we're going to get there to meet those goals. So keeping DDD's mission in mind, we want to build our strategic plan around our mission. And the mission for DDD is the Division of Developmental Disabilities empowers individuals with developmental disabilities to lead self-directed, healthy, and meaningful lives. We really need to keep that statement in mind as we're building our strategic plan. We don't want to build a plan that strays away from this at all. This is why we come into work every day. This is what we do. So we need to keep that in mind. Just real quick, there's a lot of stuff on this slide. I will review, I'll just kind of go over it quickly. Some of the recent efforts that we've had in some of our planning for the division. Again, we haven't had a true five-year strategic plan for about the last 10 years. But in the meantime, we have been doing a lot of what kind of fell into that operational planning category from the previous slides. We started out with an initiative, we called it Current to Future, or C2F. And our C2F initiative was broken down into two different phases. Back in 2020 to like 2022, we found ourselves, we had five notices to cure that were given to us by Access. And we really focused on getting all of those notices taken care of and getting off of all of those notices to cure. They were around the vendor call. Yes, sir, Keith.
I was going to ask, what is a notice to cure?
A notice to cure is in a sense, it's we have a contract with Access, and under our contract, that lists out all the things that Access expects us to do. And if we're not meeting all of those contractual obligations, they give us a notice to cure. It's kind of like a corrective action in a quality sense. So we were falling short on a couple of things in our contract, and we needed to clean that up. But it was, some of these things were bigger than just, you know, okay, we'll put a team together and we'll correct that and we're done. It was really looking at our vendor call process, our access to care, some stuff around timely delivery of services. You know, when folks need our services, they need our services today. We can't say, you know, we'll get you services, but it's going to take 3-4 months, you know. So there were some things around our quality management oversight and administration. We developed a new claims processing process, and we had some issues around our AUGCOM services. So we were really looking to clean up all of those notices to cure and get everything back into compliance. We also at the same time, yes, sir.
I'm sorry, but when we have new members join, I like them to introduce themselves.
I saw Angie just joined. Angie, would you like to come off mute and introduce yourself?
Sorry, I wasn't sure that you were talking about me. Hi, everyone. My name is Angie Bania, and I am the CARES Bureau Chief, and just newly replaced Leah Gibbs. And I apologize, I had another 1 o'clock meeting, so I wanted to join this group as soon as I possibly could.
Yes, ma'am. Just like to know who's who and what's going on.
I love that. Thanks, Keith.
Ask any questions you feel like asking.
So while we were getting off of all of our notices to cure from Access, we were also putting together a new nursing assessment tool to help us with our assessment process. And at the same time, we were transitioning our tribal health program back to Access. That was kind of phase one in our C2F initiative. In phase two, from 2023 to present day, we really were looking at strengthening behavioral health services for our members. The implementation of our RFQVA, and right now we're still in the process of acquiring our NCQA accreditation. And what that is it's a quality management system that is based around meeting goals for specific standards. And it's really, once we have that implemented and we get that accreditation for NCQA, in order to get that accreditation, you really have to have all your ducks in a row. So it's really going to help us with our quality management system. So just a real an overview quickly of our strategic planning timeline. We started in October of last year, and we are in the gathering input phase of our timeline. We're just getting started. We've been doing a lot of meetings with all kinds of different internal and external stakeholders. We've had meetings with our self-advocates, with our tribal communities. We've had meetings with DDD's advisory council. We've done some town halls. Just really anybody that's a stakeholder in anything that we do for DDD that supports our members. We're trying to get input from folks to help us with our next step, which will be defining our priorities and identifying the priorities from the input that we gather will help us draft our strategic plan. So we're still in the gathering input phase, and we're kind of coming to the end of this phase. So we appreciate you guys letting us come and talk to you and get some your input to help us define our priorities that go into that draft. After we draft our strategic plan in June of 2025 of this year, we will come back and update the community, and we'll continue to get some feedback from the community on our draft. And we might do some check and balances and check and adjust and you know, to be able to help finalize our and implement our strategic plan by July of 2025. By July of 2025, we want to share this final plan with our stakeholders. It will be published and to our website, and it will be public out there for anyone to see. So that's just a little bit about strategic planning. At this time, this is kind of where we wanted to see if we could get your input on some of these questions and get some feedback from you folks. And we will be taking notes in the background. I don't know if
I'll start us off, Mark.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that.
Of course. So thanks for the great overview, Mark. Now we really want to be able to hear from all of you all. So we've put together three questions that we want to ask one at a time to be able to get your thoughts, your recommendations, or to share any experiences that you have related to these questions so that we can use them, as Mark mentioned, to really set those priorities for the strategic plan moving forward. So if you do have a specific question or concern that needs to be addressed immediately, go ahead and, you know, reach out to one of us separately, maybe offline, and we can discuss that as well. But we're going to kick it off with these questions. So in 5 years, the first question we have for you is, in 5 years, what are your hopes or goals for people with developmental disabilities that are served by the division? You can type your responses in chat, come off mute, raise your hand, go for it. Mr. Keith, let's hear it.
Okay. And this may be a military point of view, but I don't think it is. The best way to build a very strong system is from the bottom up. And pretty much near the bottom is your IOC members, which we are severely lacking. And you need to find some incentive or some carrot to hold out to bring the independent oversight committee members, you know, numbers up in each district so that, you know, if you lose one or two, you know, they move, whatever, they get sick, you still got plenty of people to cover. It wasn't until just recently that South District had more than four people. North District is struggling. Technically, they're not meeting the law because it says 7 to 15 people in each committee. And you know, that's going to be a base because we're going to have to go through the IRs, and then they like us at the PRC meetings to help with the PRC meetings. And something's going to have to be done at that very, very base level, like the people you're talking to now, to make them want to feel like they would be appreciated and they want to be there.
Thanks, Keith. Anybody else want to share their thoughts? Yes,
this is Mario.
Mario, go ahead.
Hi, in 5 years, I'd like to see a little more vocational skills programs available for individuals who are members of DDD, one, and two, a variety or more retain companies or professionals that provide therapeutic services, speech, occupation, things like that. Those are two of my things. Now, being a parent, a young new adult, now I'd like to see more resources for individuals to have create job skills and be a contributing member to our community. I work for a company who hires individuals with disabilities through the Ability One program, a federal program, but that's not enough at the, especially here in Yuma. It's not enough. And there's an overwhelming number of members who stay home and do nothing throughout the day. Some might go to day program. Very, very little go to a job type, vocational skills type programs.
Thanks, Mario. Sierra, did you want to?
I just wanted to clarify with Keith, you were talking about having some sort of incentive. What do you think that looks like?
There's one of numerous things. One of them is because, like just South District, we cover everything from Florence to the Mexican border, from New Mexico to California. There is, number one, we have to pay for the privilege of being a volunteer. Last year, it cost me about $1,000 to volunteer. At minimum, you know, you're having to pay for internet, you know, even if you don't have to get ink and paper and stuff like that, if you're doing PRC meetings. But you know, you go to somebody, especially in tight economic times, and you say, yeah, it's only going to cost you $500 a year to make sure you have the internet. There would, you know, I'm just thinking there might be a way to get somebody to, or, you know, a company or whatever to not pay, but reimburse an IOC member. And let's say once you've been a member for 4 months, an active member for 4 months, then you can start receiving reimbursement, not pay, just for your internet, one line, you know, like $40, $50, whatever. And even if we maxed out on IOC members, that would only be $3,500 a month. And even if they only showed up at the monthly meeting, you would be getting three times that in the volunteer hours, the worth of it, because one volunteer hour is valued at $32 in Arizona right now. So just showing up at a meeting is worth $64. So, you know, and then when you go and you do IRs, or if you go to PRC meetings, you know, it becomes extremely, extremely valuable.
That is a great example. I appreciate you clarifying that. Thank you.
Thanks, Keith. Sierra, were you able to capture the comment that was put in the chat?
Yes, I was.
Okay, perfect. Does anybody else want to share any other thoughts that they might have for question number one?
Okay, just to let you know, you will have access to this. It's a matter of public record on the internet. That's why it's being recorded.
Okay, let's move on to question two then. What part of their lives do you think that members want the division to help improve in the future? This might be, we're asking about members' whole lives. So looking at members as a whole, this might be employment, like was already mentioned, social, healthcare, housing, anything that might be part of members' lives. What can the division help improve in the future?
I would say, I'm sorry, go ahead, Octavia.
I said housing would be a great start to show, to help members be more independent in our communities.
Are you able to specify a little bit more, Octavia, when it comes to housing, like affordable housing, more group home options, more ADH options?
I would say more ADH housings and low income housing. I know right now low income housing is really difficult right now for many of the members, but it would be a great opportunity for our members to have more opportunities for not just in ADH homes, but also just living out in the community, because there's not enough community resources for our members right now to live on their own because of the long list of people that need help as well in our other communities. So it'd be nice if there was a little bit more opportunities for them, as well as being able to more caregiving services as well, to be able to help them live out in the community on their own. Because right now I know that, you know, we have agencies that have caregivers, but we don't have the turnover rate is still high amongst many of the caregiving agencies. So it'd be nice to see a steady flow of caregivers that provided independent resources for members to live out in the community on their own.
Great, thanks so much, Octavia. You're Keith, welcome. You are next.
I was going to say more actual contact with people that are trying to help them. Just for instance, their SC, they see their SC every 90 days, maybe, you know, depending on how busy the SC is, support coordinator. there have been instances where I've actually been invited, because I've been doing this so long, to go to a group home and train with them to see what's going on, and, you know, at the house, not make comments, you know, voice concerns or anything, just to see. Not allowed to. And it's because they're lacking the number of personnel that actually, you know, they can call, they can touch, you know, take them to their own room and say, hey, you know, I didn't want to say this in front of the others, but, because if you only see your SC every 90 days, that leaves a lot of time for stuff to build up in you and cause problems. And also another thing is the PRCs. Right now, a lot of people are writing PRCs for the agency. They're not writing PRCs for the member. So they put, you know, a lot of stuff in there that makes it convenient for the group home, ADH, whatever. Okay, yeah, but tell me, what are you going to do that's going to make that person's life better? Not yours, theirs. And so they need to have some more detailed training in that area. The people that are going to be writing the plans, the people that are going to be implementing the plans, need to have some more detailed training in that area about who it's for.
So ensuring that BTPs are more person-centered?
Correct.
Okay.
Instead of company or group home, you know, centered.
Got it. Thanks, Keith. Anyone else want to share their thoughts?
Go ahead.
Okay, let's move on to question three then. How can the division ensure that individuals are at the center of decisions about their own lives? So what can we do to make sure that the people that we're planning for, you know, are part of the decision-making process when it comes to their own life? Go for it, Keith.
Okay. God, I'm going to get in so much trouble, but doing, you know, I've done a lot of PRCs for numerous districts. And one of the biggest mistakes I see again and again and again is, you know, I'll read in a plan, well, that's the way mom wanted it. Well, mom isn't making decisions for this person. That person's making decisions for their own life. Just because mom says vegetarian is the way to go doesn't mean they have to like to be the vegetarian. And, you know, the group homes are saying, well, you know, but yeah, but mom's the guardian and that's the way she wants it. You know, and, you know, one of the things I remember hearing when I was growing up, when you're out and you're living on your own, you can cook whatever you want as a meal. But when you're in my house, you know, eating my food, then you'll cook what I make, type of thing. And these people aren't living under the roof of mom's house or dad or auntie or whoever. So they should keep in mind that it's not the other person's call what they eat. It's their call, and never confuse the two.
Thanks, Keith. So Dimitri put in the chat, performing surveys, possibly during members' PCSPs and asking them some of these questions following each meeting and collecting responses is a great start. Leslie says that she agrees with Dimitri. Any thoughts on how we can ensure that individuals are at the center of decisions about their own lives?
Make sure that more of them get the means to do it, because getting the Alcom device, as was mentioned, that can be a pretty tough process to get through to get an Alcom. And if they are nonverbal and they don't have an Alcom, then how are they going to say, you know, this is the way I want it? And that's just one of the things, trying to make the very complex system of getting what I would think would be simple devices like an Alcom, you know, because it's, there is pretty much as simple as a tablet, and they shouldn't be that hard to get.
Thanks, Keith. Yeah, Lorraine.
Hi, since I'm new to this meeting, so at this point right now, who makes the decisions for them?
Well, it kind of is twofold. It depends on if a person has a guardian or not, or if they're a minor or not, or if they, you know, kind of like Keith was saying, if they are effectively able to communicate their wants and needs, then members, I think, tend to be kind of more at the center of their own lives. However, like Keith was saying, I think possibly ensuring that we are figuring out which communication preferences members have, such as using an Ogcom or using a picture board or communicating maybe through writing versus through speech. Those are all things that we can potentially do to ensure people are really kind of at the center of their own lives.
So another question. So the workers that are there taking care of them, they just follow the service plans? Is that how they help them with their decision, their everyday life? Is there a service plan that they do for them, or?
Again, it kind of depends on if there is a guardian or, you know, okay, what the member's level of communication is, what the member's level of ability to express themselves or ability to make those decisions. And I think that's really why we're looking at this question, because I think sometimes people get caught up in the age old, you know, the old time thoughts that people with developmental disabilities can't make their decisions and just assume, like Keith was saying, you know, mom says Johnny has to eat vegetarian, but maybe Johnny doesn't want to eat vegetarian.
Right.
So how can we circle back around and ensure that we're asking Johnny what he wants, or, you know, getting Johnny's preferences?
Okay.
Can I say something?
Yeah, for sure.
One of the things I always try to keep in mind, and I've had to bring up in a lot of meetings, you know, that I've done over the years, is think of the first 10 amendments, the Bill of Rights. Okay. That client wants to use swear words. The guardian has nothing to say about it. The group home has nothing to say about it. That's freedom of speech. You can't stop them from doing that. You can only stop them from doing that when their rights invade on other people's rights. So you can't let the guardian say, oh no, they can't, you know, use swear words. They can't use bad words. Well, what's a bad word? And, you know, some of it comes down to cultural. And, you know, they try to just throw this on the parent instead of letting the client make the decision from the behavioral treatment plan. And that's what they do. They have to do once a year. They have to pass a behavioral treatment plan. And that's what they should be running from, or running the program by for the 1 year. And it has to be redone every year.
Thanks, Keith. Anybody else have any thoughts about this last question, how we can ensure that members are really at the center of making decisions about their own lives?
I was going to say maybe doing like community outreach events, maybe, you know, every 90 days or quarterly, just inviting our members or members and family to the community outreach events, just to give their opinion on what they expect, what they like, what they want to change, and then let them have a voice to speak.
Love that idea. Thanks, Octavia.
Huh? Yeah, and make sure to have them all through the state, because if you have them all in Phoenix or even Tucson, my vice chair, he's in Yuma. That's a ways away. You know, it'll cost them a lot of money to go there, go back. So try to spread out your community outreach meetings. You know, talk with chambers of commerce or something like that in, you know, the different corners of the state. And then you got Phoenix and Tucson. Yeah, the two big population centers. But too many times they forget about Yuma, Flagstaff, you know, the different other places that a lot of our clients live around the state. And so they don't hold those events there. They say, we're going to hold them in Phoenix. And if you don't want to come to Phoenix, then you don't get to be part of it.
Thanks, Keith. Anyone else before we turn it back over to Mark?
Nope.
Doesn't seem like it. Okay, Mark, back to you.
Okay, thank you, Christina, and thanks for all your input. I think that it's important for everyone to understand we are doing these meetings with a lot of different people. Sometimes we hear the same things come up all the time, that's good. That we need to make note of the fact that a lot of people are saying these things. Sometimes in these meetings we get some one or two little nuggets that nobody has really brought up that we still need to consider and think of all those things. So thank you for all your input. Just going back to our slide presentation, we do have a survey that is out, and it will be out until January of 2024. That has not
It'll
only
be out till January 2024.
January 24th. It's closing on January 24th of 2025. It's still early in the year, Keith. I'm still adjusting.
I'm just trying to get accurate information.
No, I appreciate that. But we have our survey. It includes the three questions that you guys just gave feedback on, as well as some other questions. We have it both in English and Spanish. So we are asking for, you know, you guys can fill out the survey if you would like to fill out the survey. If you would like to send it out to any other folks that you aren't in this meeting, or anybody that you can think of that might, you know, that's part of the DDD community. We encourage any input. We're trying to get as much input as we can, and we're putting this out to everybody. It's went out to all of our DDD members. It's we're going to take this survey and all of these questions and all of this input, and we go through every single question. Sierra and some we have some other folks that are going through every single question, reading the responses, categorizing this stuff, putting it into like themes and like categories, and trying to come up with some initiatives for our strategic plan. So it's a lot of work. Once we put out the survey, it's a lot of work going back through and really going through it with a fine-tooth comb and putting these answers into buckets of categories and themes and what are we seeing from everybody. That's really all that I have. Did you have, Angie, did you have anything? I didn't mean to exclude you from.
No, that's okay. I think you covered it. I think what's important to know is that we want lots of folks to complete the survey. So if you know anyone that would be willing/able to complete the survey, we want to hear from them. It's important that we gather feedback from all different stakeholders, so that way the division can move forward with some great information to create a plan that that really does meet the needs of the individuals that we're tasked with supporting.
And it does look like someone, Sierra, put this in our chat, and the presentation is also in the chat in case you guys wanted that for any reference.
Thank you, sir.
But with that being said, that's all that I had. Yes, Sierra.
I just want to expand a little bit. These links are safe to be sent to even the social media Facebook groups or other groups that you guys know, other members or DDD interested individuals, where we can gather as much information and public opinion as possible. So feel free to share these links with anyone.
And it is on our Facebook page as well. So if you know anyone that frequents our Facebook page, the link is there. Both links are there as well.
Okay. Ms. Hedges? Anything else?
I don't have anything else, no.
Just wanted to make sure.
Thanks to Mark and Sierra for joining us so that we could gather everyone's input. We really appreciate it.
No problem. We were glad to have you. This way, when I go to the state meeting, or any of us go to the state meeting, we'll have a better idea exactly what you're talking about. Thank you much.
Thank you.
Can our IOC liaison have the screen back? Thank you for all the work that went into that.
Sure.
Okay. After this, the now, is there anything that any of the IOC members need to bring up? You know, anything special going on in your life, in your area, that others might want to know about? Miriam?
We are going to be hiring two custodians that need to have a documented disability for our Federal Ability One program. And if they are members and going through voc rehab training or any program like that, they automatically qualify for our program. So if you want to know anybody in the UMA area, give me a call, email.
Or text.
Or text, yep.
Okay. Anybody else have anything to say? Ms. Garland? Uh, I thought I saw her there. Ms. McDaniel, at any point in this, you know, meeting, if you had any questions, don't be afraid to ask them. That's why we tried to make you a, you know, we made you a voting member first.
Okay, thank you.
Because yeah, that way, you know, you got the same rights to be asked questions like we do, you know, and, okay, and expect answers, etc.
Okay, and thank you.
I wanted you to have that same freedom. Is there any, what this part, I made up this part of the meeting that it's in the agenda so that, you know, if just for instance, you were going to be on vacation for 2 weeks, you could say, yeah, could somebody cover my, you know, if you were doing any IR folders, could somebody cover these because I'm going to be on vacation or whatever, or just to make sure we're all doing all right. And that's what this basically, this part of the meeting is for, the IOC to be able to talk to the IOC. Because in my opinion, it was everybody else was talking to us. We weren't talking to each other. And that's why we needed this special time. Or at least, you know, the chance to. Octavia, anybody else? Okay, the IOC has, the members have said what they want to say. The discussion on review of incident reports and behavior plans. The incident reports we're keeping up pretty good on. All of them are up to date, except the accidental injuries and the client missing. So we're doing real good there. Just to let you know, so far this year, our volume is up by about 30% from last year. Okay, any other questions or comments about the incident reports that doesn't mention specific information? Okay, I'll take that as a no. The Division of Developmental Disabilities staff updates. Any updates?
This is Christina. I can give a quick update. I know that we had mentioned in previous meetings that we were rolling out our new qualified vendor agreement. It officially went into effect on Wednesday, January 1st. Similarly to our strategic plan, this was kind of the first time in over 10 years that we had really made any large changes to our contract. Some of the changes that we're seeing in this new contract really include revised language that ensures that the contract is more person-centered. Qualified vendors have to have staff in key positions with specific education or experience requirements. There is requirements for qualified vendors, quality management plans, and quality monitoring that have been revised to reinforce and better support the delivery of quality services. So in kind of gearing up for this, the contract unit reviewed over 1,000 submitted applications, which resulted in 862 approved applications. There now is a list of services that we are soliciting for on our website. And the services contracted under the RFQVA section. And I can put that link in the chat. So if anybody knows of any agencies that for whatever reason could not get their application in, or knows of any agencies that would want to be potentially contracted with the division, it's a great place to send them to look. But that's really the main update that I have, and everything else is kind of moving along status quo.
I understand. Joseph?
Yeah, we don't have any updates for QA, aside from the fact that we are still attempting to fill our one vacant fact-finding position. Hopefully, once that is done, we will have some more resources in terms of answering questions in a timely manner.
I think you're doing a great job of it. JJ?
No, that would be what I would share as well. We're looking forward to bringing on a new incident management specialist and be fully staffed.
Understood. Believe you guys are that group of people. The Arizona Department of Administration, Larry. Is he still here?
Good afternoon.
Okay.
No updates from ADOA this afternoon. Just some housekeeping things with Lorraine. Lorraine, please be on the lookout for a couple emails from ADOA. One's going to be a training and through Trade Corp, and it's going to go over the conflict of interest. And the other is actually the conflict of interest disclosure statement that you will need you to fill out and send back to us. So, and then you're going to be getting another training through DDD as well. So, you're going to be getting a couple different emails. So please be on the lookout on that. But minimal, will take you about 30 minutes to get them to do both, items. So, time is minimal on it. If you have any questions, please let me know.
Okay.
And that is it from ADOA's standpoint. Are there any questions or concerns that I could try to answer for the group?
I'm just going to make a comment, Larry. And she may know this, she may not, but I know right off the beginning when you start throwing acronyms out there.
There's a lot of acronyms.
Yeah. Ma'am, do you know what the ADOA is?
No.
Okay. That's my fault. It's Arizona Department of Administration.
Okay. Thank you.
And I work hand in hand with Morgan and Michelle and to ensure that everything's posted timely and you get the resources you need to for your committee.
Also, just so you know, Ms. McDaniels, that he is our direct chain of command, if you understand what I'm saying.
Yes.
That's how we can be independent.
Okay.
From DES, DDD, you know, type situation, that, you know, linear chain.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, you know, we're down here, but we're kind of over here and then up.
Okay, thank you.
It doesn't mean you can't talk to, you know, JJ, or it doesn't mean you can't talk to anybody else. It just means technically he's the one that's going to tell you, like he just did, about the trainings and things like that. DDD is not going to be telling you about trainings. That will be Larry. I know his name says Lawrence. Everybody just calls him Larry.
Okay, thank you.
I've been called worse.
Yeah. But I don't know what that meant.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Keith. And Lauren, there are a lot of acronyms that get thrown around here sometimes. And so if you, like Keith has mentioned a couple of times, if you have a question, don't hesitate to ask. We're here to help.
Okay, thank you. I'll pick up soon. I appreciate it, though. Thank you.
No problem. Thank you.
Little by little, kind of because of language around it, but. ADOA, because it is independent, that can be a little really throwing you off.
All right, thank you.
The training that you're going to have to do online, we all had to do, and one of them is Law 2000, you will have to do every year. It's a annual recertification.
All righty. Sounds good.
So you're not being picked on. You're not having to do any other training that none of us have already had to do.
Yeah. I've had a lot of training in this field. So yeah, I'm ready.
Well, it's not like you have to, oh man, I got to get it all done today. No.
Right.
No. It's here's a bite, eat, then he'll give you another bite of work to do, you know, that type of thing. Larry is not a mean taskmaster.
Okay.
Larry, you might want to remind the committee about the training coming up. The required.
On the Law 2000?
Yeah, in February, we all trained in Law 2000. You said that was going to be an annual recertification.
That has been changed, Keith. We're going to acquire it as an annual training. That's my understanding. So it's just a one-time training only. Yeah.
Oh, nice of you to tell me. See,
I'll double check that for the committee to make sure that I understood that correctly, but I will certainly let you know.
Okay, yeah, that would be kind of interesting for us because, you know, this is January, you know, with February coming right up. I'm sorry, I wasn't trying to tell you what to do. I was
No, I understand. There's a lot going on.
Okay, when you can, please send that out to Michelle. Whether it is annual or one time, and she'll make sure we all get it.
Yep, will do.
Thank you very much. Then we have the updates from the integrated health plans. So, Frederica.
Hey, Keith, it's Frederica with Access, and I don't have any updates, but happy to take any questions. And since we're talking about acronyms, I just wanted to make sure Lorraine knows what Access is.
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Okay, yes, I do. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm just trying to get her so she's not starting behind the eight ball.
Absolutely.
Okay. See, now we have.
I can go next, Keith. Ian Wilson with United Healthcare here. No updates to share for the group, but I'm more than happy to take any questions back to UHC.
Okay. And Wendy.
Wendy Herring with Mercy Care Office of Individual and Family Affairs. Anybody have any questions for me? I don't have any updates, but again, just like Eden, happy to take anything back to the plan.
Okay, sounds like that's all right. Now we want to hear updates from our liaisons, our IOC liaisons.
Well, hi, that would be me. I just wanted to let you know about this next statewide chairs meeting for the IOCs that is open to all of the IOC members to attend if you'd like. That meeting is next week on January 22nd at 5:30 p.m. Initially, there was some talk about the strategic planning team coming to that meeting to present. However, at this time, they are going to each individual independent oversight committee meeting this month. That is, each district will have a visit from the strategic planning committee with the questions posed, mainly because they're trying to get as much exposure as possible to all of our shareholders. And so they're going to individual meetings to present their information and ask those hard questions and collect information from everyone. Also, to give you some information on your incident report data, we like to provide that each month. For the month of December, the committees received a total of 677 incident reports. This included 52 open and 625 closed reports. There was also a total of 159 questions sent to the District South Quality Assurance Team in December. The team has been working on responses because that is a large number of questions. I did send out a set of responses just last week, and currently the team is working on completing those other responses for the committee. So if you please be patient. They are down staff members, but I think they're doing a great job getting back to the committee on their responses. Also wanted to let you know, if you have any general questions during your meeting about system processes or anything you see in IRs, feel free to ask general questions, non-member specific, during the committee meeting if you'd like. That can be discussed, and a lot of information shared out with the rest of your committee members who may have the same questions. Just know that it has been shared by the quality team and by Joe himself that if an IR is not investigated, it is often that the quality team is not able to get any additional information on that incident. You may have questions from incidents that they did not reach out and seek additional information on, and oftentimes they're not able to get that. We do apologize for that. Addition to that, everything else is going great. Thank you for your emails on archiving the reports. They're able to keep that file folders all nice and neat and orderly, able to identify what's new and what's not new. And we really appreciate all of the work this committee has done on reading incident reports. You are appreciated, and I know it's not an easy thing to do, so thank you very much for looking through those reports and being so timely and on top of it. You guys are very much appreciated for all that you do, and I know it's not an easy job. And that's all I've got.
Okay, I'm going to ask a question. I'm going to take liberty. JJ, please do not take offense that if we ask a question that you guys didn't investigate. Do not take that as a insult or, backlash or anything. It's just meant to say that we're thorough when we read these, because I think the worst thing you can do is just check off, NC on every one of them, which means you're not really doing your job. So
I don't think I'm understanding what's NC.
No comment.
Oh, I think we always provide comments.
Well, no. We put down that there's no comment because everything was all right.
Oh, okay.
So you only see the ones we put questions on. But if we put a question where you weren't able to investigate, that's not us saying you did a bad job. It's just us saying, well, we read this and we want to make sure there was nothing else.
Uh-huh. No, that's fine with us. We just find ourselves in a position at times where there's no follow-up information available for the committee when there's no follow-up for the incident.
Understand that, but I would rather ask questions and find out that there was no more information that you could get than not ask the questions and miss out on a whole lot of information.
Okay. Well, no, I'm pleased that that Michelle shared that information, because, if an investigation does not occur, we're kind of trying to struggle for a response. So it will allow us to, just convey that to you more easily.
Understand. But, asking a question, getting some answer beats not asking a question and getting no answer.
Yes, and we accept your questions and answer as best we can.
Yeah.
We'll continue. do that.
Ms. McDaniel, just so you understand, after some further training and getting access to the database, you and I will have a discussion about, you know, what you're willing to do. So far as an amount. One thing that's changed, in a way, you're lucky, since the last 3 months, I guess, 3 or 4 months, was they used to send us a week or two at a time, which meant you had a lot of IRs to go through.
Right.
And now they send them about every 3 days, 2 to 3 days.
Okay.
So, but what it does is whatever file you're looking at, it cuts down the number of IRs in that file. So it makes them quicker to do.
Okay.
Just so you understand. And it's the state trying to get everything done faster in a more timely manner instead of letting them pile up before they send out a whole lot. And I like it myself, and most of the people I talk to like it. So you can expect 2 to 3 times a week, you'll see a batch come out, and it may be 1 day, 2 days. The most I've seen is 3 days. But it helps also keep our batch size down. But when you respond to those, you're asking JJ over there, Joseph Jensen and Joseph Tracewell and their team, you're asking them, hey, you know, I read this. It didn't sound quite right to me. Can you explain this? That's who you're asking, is those gentlemen.
Okay.
And their team. Okay. And then they will send back a batch and it'll say, huh, here's these dates and here's all the questions that were asked. And we'll give you the best answer we can.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you.
Okay. Morgan, did you have anything to say?
Michelle handled all of our updates.
Okay. And sometimes the updates get sent out by Morgan if Michelle is on vacation or whatever, you know, just like we could help each other out. We all try to cover each other and help each other out. Once you, Miss McDaniels, once you get up on the system and Michelle's gone through with you about the IRs, do me a favor and please call me.
Okay.
And we will have a little bit more talk. And I might be able to give you a couple of hints and, you know, things to look out for and, you know, more, maybe a few more acronyms or questions you might have.
All right. Sounds good.
But Michelle will do a great job of training you. She's a good trainer.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry, Michelle. I'm just trying to plug you because you are a really good trainer. Are there any comments from the public? I didn't see any members of the public here. Okay. I need a motion to close this meeting. And Lorraine, sorry, Ms. McDaniels, you're now a voting member. You can make that motion.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
So if we want to leave the meeting, I need somebody to, an IOC member to.
I motion to adjourn this meeting at 2:27 p.m.
I second that.
Okay. All in favor, or is there any discussion? No. Okay. All in favor say aye of the IOC members.
Aye.
Okay. By unanimous vote at 2:27 on the 13th of January, we will have concluded this meeting. Thank you all for coming, for all your information, and everything you do for us. Have a very good day. Our next meeting is February. I'm trying to think of the date.
February 10.
Yeah, February 10th, which is, it's always a second Monday unless, you know, like there's a holiday or something. But February 10th at 1 p.m. Y'all have a good day now.
Thank you.
You too, thank you. Thanks, have a good day.
Thank you. Thanks, have a good day.